All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Daily Faceoff podcast comes courtesy of the Nation Network. Here's your host, Brock Segan, with Dylan D. Berthume and Michael Beebs Bondi.
Welcome in to Season 9, Episode 20 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by Betway. If you're going to place a bet, bet on Betway. Please play responsibly. Ontario only, and must be 19 years of age or older. I'm your host, Brock Segan. With me, as always, we got Dylan D. Berthume and Michael Beebs Bondi. It is a very happy week on the DFO Fantasy Podcast. Beebs and myself, massive Detroit Lions fans. We get our first playoff win in ages. And Dylan D. Berthume,
never seen one in my life.
A massive Green Bay Packers fan. They went into Dallas, pulled off a slaughtering upset of the obviously horrendous playoff Dallas Cowboys, and we are both headed off to the divisional round playoffs in the NFC on a collision course for a meeting in Detroit in a week from now. Obviously, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, two best quarterbacks in the league. Heard it here first on this notoriously great fantasy football podcast. But yeah, we'll start with Beebs. Beebs, you had a fun week. You got a few days off from DFO. Must have been nice. Your fingers are probably feeling pretty good. You got to witness the Detroit Lions win first playoff game in your life, and you got to spend the weekend in Montreal and then also watch the Avalanche lose to the Canadiens, which is objectively hilarious.
Yeah. You know, I take that trade any day. I'll take the Lions win. And I was explaining to my dad earlier today, I was like, I kind of just kept wanting Montreal to score because that place is so electric that when they score, it's like songs start going. At one point they had Cole Caulfield had a dirty snipe off the wall, and they're all saying like a song about how the other team's defense is terrified of Cole Caulfield. I'm like, the whole arena's going. It was awesome. So yeah, so if you're gonna watch a loss, that's a great place to do it. I was absolutely floored by the Bell Center. They had cheerleaders up in my section every time that anything would happen. You know, you go on whistle and everyone's like partying. It was nuts. It was a great little game. So yep, tough to watch Colorado lose, but got to see Cale Makar, Gino, which you know, made me pop out of my seat. But yeah, I'm back and refreshed, as you can tell. Pretty much the opposite of Brock right now. So thank you, Brock, for covering. And D, of course. But D, how you doing over there? You guys got to stay in Windsor, which was somehow colder than Montreal over these past couple days. So look who decided to go on a nice warm vacation. It was me.
It was good. Not in Windsor, but close enough. Right. And it was still very cold up here in Richmond Hill. But no, doing good. As Brock said, it was a great weekend. Puts you in a great mood all week long. You know, I didn't even really have to sweat that game that much. It was one, it was a blowout. And then two, you know, we kind of got the happy to be here sort of vibes. Whereas you guys, I think, were really sweating over inviting Matthew Stafford back into Ford Field. But I don't want to dwell on the football too much. We got some fantasy puck to talk about. But yeah, looking forward to this weekend and looking forward to hopefully beating that 9.5-point spread at the very least down in San Francisco.
My favorite thing, Clara,
I should say.
My favorite thing of the weekend was just when they interviewed Kyle Shanahan. They're like, "So when you start prepping for Green Bay?" It's like second quarter, just blowout central. But yeah, as D alluded to, this is still a fantasy hockey podcast. We are going to be talking fantasy hockey today, of course, and we were going to kind of change gears and do something other than waiver wire pickups because we feel like we've been talking about waiver wire pickups a lot lately, but it's just kind of that time of year. And when I started going through some of the serious injuries that we have at the forward position, both center and wing, it just seemed to make sense that we've got teams that are obviously struggling with injuries and they're looking for pickups. In a couple of my leagues, like, I'm just absolutely decimated. Like, it's just unbelievable the injuries that I'm going through. And I've kind of like waved the white flag at, you know, it was in first place. The injury started to mount and I've basically just waved the white flag, lost a couple weeks. So I'm like, I don't want to drop any of these good players. I'm just going to take a couple L's and hopefully they're back and good to go. Like, it was nice to get Kyle Connor back the other day. And then Nichushkin goes out simultaneously. It's like, son of a bitch, it's never going to get better. But we'll start with the centers. What we're going to do is I've got a couple of groups in terms of over 30% and under 30% owned. Basically players that are worthwhile pickups kind of regardless of your format. And we're going to give you our favorite of each group. So overall, we've got two groups of centers, two groups of wingers, and we're going to give you our top picks at center above 30%, under 30%, and our top picks at wing over 30% and under 30%. Again, obviously, we're not going to be talking about players that are 70%, 60%. It's in between 50 and 30 is kind of the threshold here. So just to reiterate some of the big center injuries currently, Jack Hughes remains week to week. We got an update from that today. So obviously a first round pick out for many more weeks. Jack Eichel out indefinitely after having what was deemed lower body surgery. I'm not sure what that means. Could be literally anything.
Our coach came out today though, and he did say they plan on him being at least back this season. So that was the update there, which I was like, that's not good.
So
it's going to be, it's going to be some time.
Next we have Mark Scheifele, who is not expected to be out too long term. He could be back by the weekend. Connor Bedard, he's back skating with a broken jaw, with the bubble on. It was kind of hilarious because like everybody was like, there were so many accounts that were just like, oh my god, Bedard's on the ice, he's just built different. I'm like, he broke his face, not his feet.
Yeah,
like he can skate. Like, yeah, I'm sure his jaw hurts, but like, why is this that crazy? Like, he's
can't fall. That'd be pretty painful.
Also, yeah, but the bubble's making a comeback. We got Boone Jenner playing tomorrow, coming back.
Tom Wilson's been playing.
It's been 6 weeks, and Boone has confirmed he will be rocking the bubble tomorrow.
Romanov had one on last night.
Yeah, ooh, Tom Wilson's been rocking one. Tom Wilson wearing one is horrifying because like he's just out there running guys over, then they try to fight him. He's just like, what are you gonna do?
Well, it's nuts too, because like there's a thing in beer league. It's like the guy with the cage is always like the biggest to talk because he has that shield to block him. It's like, imagine Tom Wilson with that extra defense horrifying from him. Like you're done. Yeah. So yeah. And then you go to face wash, but it's like, you're just doing a window. But no, maybe bubble might be the new thing. I'm cool with it too. Like,
I hope it's not, but, Josh Norris also out, more day to day than anything, but, still not expected to play, tomorrow. And Matty Beniers, he has, you know, not super high owned, but he's been coming on a little bit, and he's out again. It's believed to be potentially a concussion stemming from a hit from Cole Sillinger over the week, and he is out as well. So some of the top center pickups, I'll just list them off, and then D, we'll start with you, then Biebs, give me your favorite pickups in this 30 to 50% bucket. First is Cole Perfetti from the Winnipeg Jets, center left wing, eligible, 38% owned. Next is Charlie Coyle, Boston Bruins center, 36% owned. Michael Backlund of the Calgary Flames, 33% owned. Casey Mittelstadt of the Buffalo Sabres, 32%. Sean Couturier of the Flyers, 31%. He is currently dealing with an injury, but is believed to be minor, so he should be back by their next game potentially. And Sam Bennett, Florida Panthers, 30% owned. D, who is your favorite pickup out of this bucket?
Right now, it would be Charlie Coyle for the same reason that I love Morgan Geeky. I'm trying to think if it was last week or the week before, but Coyle has kind of supplanted him on that top line, centering David Pastrnak, which is what you really love to see, and Brad Marchand as well, which is just fantastic, skating on the top power play unit right now. And Coyle's been on a bit of a heater. He's really taken advantage of it. Even going back a little bit further, he's got 7 points in his last nine games, 26 shots on goal, so almost 3 shots a game over that stretch. And the shots have just climbed up even higher in the last few games since he's moved up to that line. So I think in the short term, as long as he's there, he offers the, you know, the most short-term value and someone who could come as close to replicating the production of some of the guys we talked about. Obviously, no one's replacing the likes of Jack Hughes on the roster, or even Jack Eichel or Mark Scheifele for that regard. But I think Coyle can get pretty close, or if not eclipsing, as long as he's in that spot, the production of some of the other guys. And quietly just put together a good season as well, 32 points across 43 games. If you're looking for more of a long-term ad, or if Coyle's just simply not there because he's a little bit higher owned at 36%. I also like Sean Couturier. He's banged up right now, but he's just had such a solidified role as the first line center out in Philadelphia, playing a ton of minutes with Travis Konechny, even had Owen Tippett up there the last couple of games, which is great to see. I think that would be, you know, your most productive three players all skating at once at 5v5, which is always great. And Couturier really solidified as a core piece of that top power play unit as well. Couturier's, you know, shot production has been there all season long, 113 shots in 40 games, shooting just 8.8%, career 11.2% shooter. So I think there's probably some positive regression coming his way as well. So yeah, I think if Coyle's gone, I would definitely look to Couturier, and he's probably getting dropped in a lot of leagues this week too, with being banged up. Shouldn't be out too long. Should be back before we know it. So those would be the top two guys I'd be looking at in that group.
No, I love them both, and I think there's definitely a case there for each. And you could throw him in a bag with this third skater, in my opinion, Casey Mittelstadt out in Buffalo for me. I just wanted to point him out, just to not, you know, jump on top of the same thing that D jumped on there. But Mittelstadt's been on absolute fire this year. He's currently on pace. He has 38 points in 44 games. That puts him on pace for 71 points this year by the end of the year. And he's done that with only 5 power play points this year. Mittelstadt is currently now officially occupying power play one out in Buffalo. And that's just huge for him. We've seen him kind of excel recently due to this this move up the lineup. He has 16 points in his last 14 games, good for 6 goals and 10 assists. That's over a point per game. He also has 26 shots in those 14 games. That's the really glaring thing that kind of, honestly, it doesn't sound exciting, the 26 shots in 14 games, but it is better than what he's been doing all year. It is a good sign of things to come. And while he's been doing that, he's just been dominating both sides of the ice. He's a plus 11. And throughout that time, playing 18 minutes a night. So they're proving that they can trust him. They've thrown him up on that top line before. So in 5v5 with 33 points, he is very dominant at the moment. If he can click on that power play, things could actually go better for Mittelstadt, which is crazy when we're talking about a guy on pace for 71 points and under 30% owned. I think Mittelstadt definitely deserves to be a lot higher than he is here. People are probably staying away because of that shot production, but we've seen guys kind of break through the mold before, like Robert Thomas. Obviously Mittelstadt is gonna get you assists first, but if you can get it on near point per game player with upside, because that's what Mittelstadt has still, then it's a nice little pickup. I do want to shout out, while Val Nichushkin is out, I think that Ross Colton is definitely worth a look in certain leagues. Even just from the eye test the other night at the Montreal game, it was the first night Val was out. It kind of came as a out of the blue for everyone, and I'm sure for Colorado. And with that happening, Colton moved to power play one, and that is an extremely effective power play one. And 5 minutes into that game, he had himself a power play goal. So if Colton can stay there, he is a guy who can he's proven he can eat 20 minutes of ice easily, and they might need him to. They're one injury away from being in a very, very scary place with their offense in Colorado. Brock talks about it often. They lean on their top line incredibly hard. So Colton is the piece that kind of can drive the rest. I think he makes a nice little look, and it's going to be interesting to see what he can do for this next little bit while Colorado kind of just weathers the storm around them. So I think all four of those are great options. It's good that we have players jumping into good positions that can give us fantasy production instead of just having to hope for the best with some other ones when we're seeing these injuries. So, Brock, do you have any centers you'd throw in?
Yeah, I guess we know who your pick is in the next bucket, because Ross Colton was coming up in the under 30% owned bucket. And so I'm sure we don't have to talk too much more about that one. Yeah, you wanted to jump ahead before I even got a chance to talk about my favorite player in this bucket.
I actually have a guy ahead of him in the bucket, so we'll I'll come back around. But I felt Ross just deserved a nice shout out because I didn't think he'd get one. So
Yeah. Well, you were definitely going to have the floor here again in a few, but I'm a little different too. Like, I do agree. I think that Charlie Coyle, Sean Couturier, Casey Middlestad, all pretty good pickups right now. Coyle, obviously on the top line, I think is very attractive, but I would argue that Sam Bennett is in an equally of a sexy spot playing with Carter Verhaeghe and Matthew Tkachuk. This is one of the best lines in the entire NHL. They average 3.4 expected goals for per 60, 38 scoring chances, 16 high danger chances. Bennett's been hot lately, 7 goals in his last 14 games, 11 points overall. The shot volume has been solid as well, close to 3 shots per game. Also, like we talked about a lot, you got to try to buy low on Matt Tkachuk. He's going to heat up, and boy, has he ever. 18 points in his last 9 games coming into this evening. Carter Verhaeghe been nearly as hot, 15 points in 9 games over that span. You know, doing some damage on the power play for sure, which the only is real knock on Bennett is he's kind of been locked onto PP2 for the majority of the season. But at 5v5, it's one of the best lines in the league, and Bennett's going to continue to get his. He's been kind of one of my favorite streaming options, one of my favorite pickups. But to be honest with you, following Bennett, Couture was kind of my next pick. So I'm in lockstep with you there. D, I've just been kind of fading the Bruins all year, and I'm just going to continue to do that and say, screw Charlie Coyle, I'll pick up somebody else. But the next bucket, I think we obviously know who Biebs is going to be talking about. But in this bucket, we've got Phil Deneau, 24% owned. Ross Colton, shocking, at 23% owned for the Avs. Wyatt Johnson, 20% owned for the Dallas Stars. Chandler Stephenson, 19% owned for the Vegas Golden Knights. Ridley Gregg, 3% owned for the Ottawa Senators. And Morgan Frost, also 3% owned for the Philadelphia Flyers. Just a quick kind of update in case people aren't able to consistently follow, you know, what player, what line each player is on, yada, yada, yada. Chandler Stephenson is now the top line center in Vegas with Mark Stone, with Jack Eichel and William Karlsson currently sidelined. And then also the Dallas Stars decided to shake things up a little bit recently and moved Wyatt Johnson to the top line with Rupe Hintz and Jason Robertson. He moved to the wing. So not only is that obviously an impressive spot for Wyatt Johnson to be playing, but he could gain additional wing eligibility. So those are two players that have really moved. Oh, sorry. And Ridley Gregg as well. With the Josh Norris injury, Ridley Gregg has been on the top line with Brady Tkachuk and Claude Giroux and has performed pretty well. So some of these players moving up the lineup due to the same injuries that we're talking about. D, in this bucket, who's your favorite right now?
It's got to be Wyatt. I mean, we're going off an extremely small sample size. They just moved him up there for Tuesday night's game. We've only seen one game out of him. All he did was pick up a goal and assist, fire the puck on net 4 times. So this is what we've been waiting to see, right? We thought it would maybe be Rupe Hintz, who would be the victim of Wyatt Johnson moving up the lineup, but just 20 years old, and you know his production in a limited role has been off the charts, especially considering his age. So if he's somehow still out there in dynasty keeper leagues, he's someone you need to move to act fast, because we didn't know if this, you know, he was going to get this kind of opportunity this season. But apparently, it's going to happen on the wing, which is fine by me, as long as you can get more minutes and more exposure to those big boys. I think the production is just going to start flowing in, and we'll really start to see the peak of his potential. And really the last stepping stone he's got to hurdle here is just that top power play unit still being sidelined in favor of Jamie Benn. We'll see if that changes. He obviously seems like the one that he could really supplant on that top power play unit with Pavelski, Hintz, Robertson, and obviously Heiskanen once he's back, but for now Thomas Harley on the back end taking that fifth spot. So yeah, really excited stuff out of Wyatt. Obviously, you know, this is a pretty, like I said, short-term development, so we'll see how that goes. But I like Gregg a lot as well. I think to Biebs' point, Colton, especially in banger leagues, where he throws the body around a little bit more, and that I think that second line is just going to continue to get more minutes too. I mean, Colton's been over 17 minutes for each of the last 3 games. So a lot to like there. Deneau's on a nice little hot streak, but it looks like maybe just a little bit more fortunate than anything else. Not necessarily a lot of extra chances or shot production coming out of him or his line. So I mean, shout out to Phil Deneau, but I don't think that one's gonna last too much longer. And Chandler Stephenson, I mean, we've seen him get these kind of opportunities before, and has never really led to any sort of you know, significant concrete production. He did have a lot of assists over the last couple of seasons, but I just don't think the lack of goal scoring upside just makes him hard to get excited about, and especially when we know it's just gonna be a temporary situation. So I would go Wyatt and then Gregg, and then like I said, Colton's right up there with them, the two of them for me as well.
Yeah, we had sorry, I was just going to say with Chandler Stephenson, like they had a good game, the first game without Jack Eichel, but like largely Stevenson and Mark Stone have struggled at 5v5, so it's hard to foresee them really being able to lock down that top line spot and dominating night in and night out, kind of like Jack Eichel was able to do at the top of that lineup. Just to your point, D, Phil Deneau, 8 points in his last 6 games, 2 goals, 6 assists. The shot volume obviously remains kind of a bit of an issue. With Wyatt Johnston, you know, if he's going to stay there, like, that is like, that's just insane, right? Like, you have to just take that flyer on him while he's on that line. Basically, the reason they made the move was mostly to try to get Wyatt going, because he had been struggling quite a bit from December 7th to January 10th, just 5 points, 1 goal in 16 games during that time. So 4 shots, 1 goal, 1 assist in his first game on that top line. If he can continue to play in that spot, you know, the potential is massive. I don't think that any of these other guys really have the same value that he has if he can remain in that spot. So he was my pick as well. Biebs, you already talked about Ross Colton. I'm assuming Wyatt was the guy you had slightly ahead of him.
Absolutely. And I kind of wanted to leave Wyatt there because, you know, we Wyatt's D's boy. And I love to see you pop off about him there, because you nailed it. He's one step away from being in that perfect position that we've just been waiting to see with that power play. So this is beautiful. Get on it while you can. And like Brock said, that little cold spurt there might have helped us here, because we had teams dropping Wyatt Johnston in redraft leads, and this could be your time to grab him, kind of get ahead of the curve. I do want a quick shout out, just because he's so low owned, Morgan Frost down there. I don't love picking him up quite yet, but there is something brewing if he can prove that he's good enough to stay in that lineup and play both ends for Torts. Frost impressed Torts last week, after 2 weeks ago, after his healthy scratch. He went and saw him, and Torts came out and said, you know, I need that for my players. And ever since, Morgan Frost has been on line one and power play two, and he has 6 points in his last 8 games. He has 19 shots during that time. We're just seeing a lot of very good trends from Frost, which if he can keep this up, he led this team in 5v5 points last year. So Philly, we know it, they're a much improved team, and there's a couple nice pieces moving around there, Konechny, Owen Tippett, and other point producers. So I do think that Frost is worth a look if you're in those very, very deep leagues, but we got some good names here across the board. But for me, it's gonna go Wyatt, Ross Colton. I will say Chandler Stevenson, great to see you back, man. He was our guy last year for spot starts, and not our guy, but everyone's guy. He just was out there in every league, and I think he got picked up and dropped 40 times, and he's right back to doing that same production. So Chandler will be my number four. And then my third one here, I think I'm in agreement with you guys. So pretty much similar kind of candidates here. I think all of these names though are should be more owned than their number at the moment, and we'll see that in the upcoming days as these guys are added and people start to catch on to these trends.
Yeah, William Karlsson and Eichel being out, it could lead to just monster minutes for Chandler Stevenson. The game was pretty well in hand the other night. He played 18-20, but we've seen this guy well over 20 minutes before. So if he continues to eat minutes, he could be somebody that's definitely worth keeping an eye on and picking up. Like you said, he was somebody that was pretty popular to be picked up in the last couple seasons, finished with, I think, 64 and 65 points the last two seasons.
And 19 minutes during both those years. So he's played a minute less this year, and we've kind of seen the production go down. So I think, like you said, you know, it's going to classic Chandler. So yeah, might as well jump on it while you can. And there's nothing better than time on ice for fantasy stats. So
opportunistic Chandler, as they call him. Some wingers that are injured at the moment. You got Jeff Skinner continues to be sidelined for at least a few more weeks by the looks of things. Patrick Kane, unclear exactly how much time he's going to miss, but he's been rock solid since joining the Detroit Red Wings. He's going to be out for at least one more game. He missed tonight. He's going to miss at least the rest of this road trip. They're going to reevaluate him when he gets home, and then they're probably going to release an injury. The fact that he didn't just like immediately fly back home, I believe he's still with the team, suggests that it's not like overly serious. But again, Patrick Kane still out for the Red Wings. Then you got Val Nichushkin joined the player assistance program, out indefinitely. And then Alex Ovechkin continues to deal with a nagging lower body injury. Looks like he could be back as soon as tomorrow. But I think that this is something that he might continue to deal with as the season progresses, because it just doesn't seem to be going away for him. But all right, between 50 and 30% owned, here are your next waiver wire pickups in the bucket. You got Jonathan Drouin of the Colorado Avalanche, 46% owned. Brian Rust and Rickard Rakell, 44 and 43% owned, respectively, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Gustav Nyquist makes another appearance on the show, 40% owned for the Nashville Predators. Yegor Sharangovich, 39% owned for the Calgary Flames. Alexis Lafreniere, 38% owned for the New York Rangers. Joel Farabee, 38% owned for the Flyers. Dawson Mercer, 37% owned for the New Jersey Devils. And lastly, Troy Terry, right winger for the Anaheim Ducks, 36% owned. D, you've been sitting here all by yourself without anybody to talk to for the last 5 minutes. Who is your pickup in this bucket?
I think there's a lot of good options here. So hopefully, there's five or six names I'd be happy to find room for on my roster if I was in need of a spot. So hopefully at least one of these guys that we're going to talk about is available in your league, the listeners league. If I'm going for upside, it's kind of hard to ignore what Igor's done lately, Sharangovich out in Calgary. The lines metrics aren't phenomenal at 5v5, but no one's outside of the backlands line really is that too phenomenal in Calgary. So at the same time, Sharangovich, Lindholm, Huberto, they're still creating a lot of chances at 5v5. It's a high event hockey, 33 scoring chances per 60. I think about 10 or 11 high danger chances. So nothing spectacular, but just the amount of ice time he's been getting and that exposure to those offensive minded players has really done him some good. And, we're going back almost half the season to date now where he's just locked down really a first line role for the Calgary Flames. Over his last 23 games, he's got 19 minutes and 43 seconds average time on ice. He scored 13 times over those 23 games, added 8 assists, so 21 points across his last 23 games. Shot volume's gone up as well, as you could expect, shooting 62 times. So maybe a little bit of regression there coming in his shooting percentage. But even in his years in New Jersey, he was consistently shooting around 14, 15%. So this is a guy with a serious shot who's getting a lot of opportunity to put it to work now. I think in terms of upside, untapped potential, it's hard not to get excited about Sharangovich. He was someone that I really liked coming out of New Jersey in that trade. And I thought if he got an expanded role in Calgary, he could really do some work. This is probably even better than what I thought we might see, to be honest. So for me, he's probably the way I'm leaning right now. But I mean, Farabee has been super productive lately. Obviously, Raquel's in a great spot on that top line with Gensel and Crosby. Has done work there in the past. Russ is almost at a point per game this season. So I think there's a lot of ways you can go here. Obviously, Nyquist really solidified his role on that top line with O'Reilly and Forsberg. Brock, you've talked about how good that line's been at 5v5, and he's seen all the power play time as well. So, yeah, I think any of these guys, if they're available in your league, make for some worthy replacements right now, so long as they hold down the roles that they have.
Yeah, and just to note, Brian Rust actually replaced Rickard Rakell in the top power play unit at Penguins practice on Wednesday. But, yeah, Sharangovich has been just tremendous, right? I think a lot of Flames fans weren't totally pleased when that trade happened, and he's really done a nice job. Was it 2 years ago where he was just excellent on Jack Hughes's wing? And then now this year with Elias Lindholm, he's been really, really good. You talked about how the Nyquist line's been extremely good at 5v5. Another line that might be one of the best lines in the NHL at 5v5 is the New York Rangers second line with Panarin and Trocheck and Alexi Lafreniere. And Lafreniere has been playing extremely well as of late. And I think the one thing that I absolutely love has been the shot volume. The shot volume has been absolutely outstanding for Lafreniere as of late. He has averaged 3.2 shots per game over his last 14 games. He's finished just two games with only one shot in that time. He's getting, three, four shots every single night. 10 points during that 14-game span. He shot just 6.7% during that stretch. So the shot volume's there. The shooting percentage is still leaves quite a bit to be desired, but he's a 13.6% career shooter, so you'd expect nearly double the amount of goals during that time. He continues to play on a line with Panarin and Trocheck that has been absolutely dominant all season. They lead the Rangers in 5v5 ice time almost every single night, and I think Lafreniere has a lot to offer moving forward. And if that shot volume continues, I think that the goal production is certainly going to follow here in the near future. Biebs, tell us why it's Jonathan Drouin.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's a reason he's the most rostered guy on here, and it's funny, we were talking about him, I believe, at 6% or something like that a few weeks ago. Who would have thought that he stayed in the exact same position that we talked about? He continued to eat up more ice, and he's only succeeded. I'm actually mind blown that every single game that goes by that Colorado hasn't signed this guy beyond this year, because he legitimately looks like the perfect fit on that top line. And I mean, like, you're playing with two of the better players in the world. It's they could definitely make you look good, but he just flows so nice with everything going on in Colorado. They have a really weird transition game, and he's working. And because of that, he's earned himself 23-38 average time on ice in the last 17 games, which has led to 17 points for Drew Mann. I think at this point, it's more just, you know, if he's out there in your league, you have to grab him with this type of ice time. We saw him play 28-16 in a victory over Boston last week. That's a forward on 28 minutes of ice. That's pretty insane. Colorado is just going to abuse that line. Nishushkin going down, as unfortunate as it is, it just means more ice time for these top six players that are going to have to lock it down. I said it for Colton. So, Durant, I expect a continued 20-plus a night. He's now gone 9 games over 20 minutes, so it's just going to keep happening. And we preached about the previous guys. It's time of ice is phenomenal. But no, I want to shout out another guy because that was way too easy. Rickard Rakell is also another one that we brought up during that Duran episode. He's probably not getting as many looks here because he's not on PP1 out in Pittsburgh. But since he's been moved to that top line with Jake Guentzel and Sidney Crosby, who are Crosby's just on fire lately.
You love Rickard to see Rakell it.
Has, yeah, you absolutely. I don't think there's one person who doesn't love seeing Sid put up points, and it's just a beautiful thing. The game is flowing when that's happening. But Rickard Rakell, in the last 12 games since being moved up there, 33 shots on goal, and that has led to 12 points, which is 5 goals, 7 assists. And as mentioned, not doing it from a top power play spot, so 11 of those 12 points are even strength. Brian Rust has jumped up to top power play, but that power play struggled across the board. It's been well documented this season. And if Rakell continues to play like he is, he's still averaging 1951 while not touching top power play. That just goes to show how much time he's actually getting in 5v5, which is impressive. So Rakell, I do think, really deserves a shout out here, but again, it's like Duran, it's for all the exact same reasons that we gave 2 weeks ago. The things are just continuing to happen. And when players are in these positions, they are going to succeed. And both these guys have kind of just done exactly what we hoped. They've proven they can stay there, and they have given fantasy owners everything they deserve for taking a chance on these guys. So I think we have some really good names here again, though. It's just crazy how juicy the free agency market is.
The fact that Sidney Crosby's on pace for 50 goals for the first time since 2010 is absolutely insane. Awesome. D, your Sidney Crosby heart futures are looking okay. Your Sidney Crosby bust futures are looking pretty poor.
That's why we hedge, man. That's why we hedge. Hey, I said a generational talent was going to fall off this year and fall off the fantasy radar. I just leaned the wrong way. My love and dedication to shot volume led me astray this time and going with Ovi over Crosby. I was dedicated to picking one of them and to just falling off this the godly production they've had. And credit to Sid. Right, you know, and I don't hate to see it because, like you said, I got some futures out there with his name on it. So
if he drags them to the playoffs with the power play as bad as it has been so far this
I think
year,
it was 101, by the way, which is just
yeah, insane. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal.
If he does odds. That, he can go to the trophy ceremony with his best friend Nate, and he can watch Nate accept that award because there's no way it's getting away from McKinnon.
He can bring his best friend D there if he needs to, because D's got him 100-1, baby. All right, I just really quickly talking about Jonathan Drouin, Valeri Nichushkin. I think it's just worth reiterating that Arturi Lehkonen's return is right around the corner. He's still
as imminent as 6%
owned. And he's going to most likely return to power play one upon his return as well, probably bumping Ross Colton from that unit, to be fair, for those people who have already rushed to the waiver wire pickup Ross Colton from
scrap that whole segment.
Yeah, Beeb's popping off about him for 8 minutes. Next on the list, or I guess the next bucket, Max Pacioretty, 27% owned. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago we said that we expect Pacioretty's return to be pretty slow, and that's been the case thus far. But I think he's going to start getting ramped up here. 27% owned for the Capitals at the moment. Jordan Eberle, 23% owned for the Red Hot Seattle Kraken. Andrew Mangiapane, 18% owned for the Calgary Flames. TJ Oshie for the Washington Capitals, 16% owned. D's former boy, Morgan Geeky, 13% owned. Jack Quinn of the Buffalo Sabres, 4% owned. And Biebs' favorite rookie, Connor Zary, 3% owned. So yeah, we'll start here with D, and who your favorite pickup is. Just really quickly, an update on Max Pacioretty. So far, 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points in 7 games. The shot volume, 12 shots on goal in 7 games, not really close to what we've come to expect from Max Pacioretty in recent years, playing 15 minutes a night. But he has ramped up 17 minutes in recent games, so maybe a sign of things to come. But D, of this group, who is your favorite?
I wish I could say it was Morgan Geekie, but, you know, we talked about how much that value was just tied to him centering that top line. And, you know, that's is not the case. As we spoke about earlier, Charlie Coyle has taken his role. He provided some really nice value for us. Geekie did while he was up there. He had 14 points in a 15-game stretch, playing just under 17 minutes at night. And now he's pointless in his last three. It's just, you know, too predictable. He's not on the first power play unit at all either. So obviously, you know, you can only be so productive when you're playing a bottom six role on a team like the Bruins this season. So Geeky's going to be a pass for me. Honestly, none of these names get me anywhere near as excited as any of the three groups we talked about to this point. I think Mangiapane is a fine bet, but he's more of like a, just a short-term streamer for me because he's getting some great exposure to Backlund and Coleman at 5v5, and that line just tends to dominate their opposition. But the lack of power play time, or at least with the first unit, turns me off there. Connor Zary is still allergic to shooting the puck. Looks like a nice young player, though. Pacioretty obviously hasn't looked like himself. We'll see what happens once Ovi comes back, if that helps with his upside. Everly and Oshie, I just have a hard time getting excited about at this point. So that leaves me with Jack Quinn. I like Jack Quinn, and I do think this is a guy whose role is a bit more solidified than any of the other names we talked about. He's back playing with his boy John Jason Paterka and Dylan Cousins, a line that we saw play, I think it was like over 300 minutes together last year, and they were fantastic last season at over 36 scoring chances per 60, and they kind of picked up right where they left off. You know, defensively haven't been quite as strong, but neither has that team at all. But, you know, offensively, we're still seeing a lot of chances, a lot of high event hockey coming out of this line. Expected 4 goals per 60 at even strength, 32 scoring chances, 15 high danger chances. And with the injuries they've had, like, he's just been forced into playing more, which is great to see because we were really hoping for that coming out of a season a year ago where he put up 37 points in 75 games as a 21-year-old while playing less than 14 minutes of ice. So definitely hinted to us that there was potential for more and potential for a bit of a breakout here if Quinn was able to lock down a larger role. Paterka's obviously done that to this point. I mean, Cousins is rejuvenating his season a little bit. So, and again, I'd expect the three of these guys to stick together a little bit, given the fact that they did for over 300 minutes last season. So I feel really good about Jack Quinn right now. I think he's a nice little sneaky pickup in deeper leagues. And certainly just to me seems like he has more upside aside from maybe Morgan Geekie moving back up the lineup than any of the other guys in this bucket.
I want to pop off about Connor Zary, but I can't. But I will say, you know, after last week's potential absolute sleeper Calder Trophy, it's great to see him on power play one in Calgary. But as D said, he does not shoot enough to get me excited. For me, it is the old true and trustworthy Jordan Eberle. For me, I feel bad calling him old. I more meant he's been there for us for the last couple of years. And he is right back doing that. The reason why I like him here is just it's just situational. He's power play one, he's line one, pretty much the same as Pacioretty, except for I just kind of trust him to play a little bit more of ice time. We've seen some great signs from Pacioretty, as Brock mentioned. We saw 17 minutes of ice last week. I got very excited as someone with 3 stocks in him, but then we saw 14 the next day. So if he's only going to variate from 17 to 14, I don't love that too much. But Jordan Eberle in his last 6 games, obviously a small sample size, but that's also the new year in itself. He's got 5 points in his last 6, including 10 shots, while playing 17-13 on, again, top line, top power play, situational. I think you're really hoping that you get just like a point or some type of counting stat out of these guys. And I think that someone who's in that position, like Eberle, is your best bet at that for, you know, if you're just throwing dynamite into the water and praying you catch a fish. So, yeah, I'll go Jordan Eberle. I can't believe I'm saying that in 2024, but.
Very exciting stuff. He is.
Yeah. Woo.
Wow. I just wanted to run it back here into the last bucket for a second. I wanted to talk about Troy Terry and I forgot to. Leo Carlson returning should definitely help. And Troy Terry, 14 points in his last 17 games. Shot volumes remain strong. The playing time is massive, over 21 minutes the last 2 games. Getting Leo Carlson back is definitely going to help that line for the Ducks. I think he's deserving of a shout in that last bucket. We've glossed over TJ Oshie a little bit, like Jordan Eberle, TJ Oshie, again, hilarious in 2024 to be talking about, but Oshie's been better lately, mostly injured the entire first half of the season. Three goals, two assists, 5 points, 19 shots on goal in his last six games. I think that that's worthy of a mention, especially given kind of the lack of quality on the wings in Washington. I think that Oshie's going to continue to see minutes. But yeah, my guy Jack Quinn, been a big fan for a while. I think he's still my favorite pickup in this group. A little nerve-wracking. They didn't skate today because the game got postponed, and they didn't even end up like they ended up playing. They ended up skating, so we didn't get a good look at the lines. They did break up that line. They broke up like all four lines. They just did some outrageous shit the other night. I don't expect it to stick. Like, I think it was Cousins, Quinn, and Zemgus Girgensons. I don't think that's going to last very long. But yeah, Quinn, if he remains with Dylan Cousins, he remains in the top power play unit in Buffalo, I think he's certainly the pickup. The shot volume has been just as strong as ever. And I like what you get out of Jack Quinn in the spot that he is likely to be in that Buffalo lineup. So I will go with Jack Quinn, double down on Jack, but I do think TJ Oshie is decent. And I do think that Max Pacioretty is probably going to have some relevancy here in the near future, but just need to see a little bit more shot volume out of him before I get too excited. But let's, before we get to the Betway bets of the day, we're going to turn it over to Dee for Dee's Weekend Streamers.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thank you, Brock. Just give me a second to pull it up because I closed out the tab because that's the way we like to do it here. We keep it professional.
You're just letting it marinate for everyone at home who's sitting at home waiting to dive in.
Exactly.
Well, the real reason I threw it to you is because I also closed the bets. So I was like, one of us is going to be prepared here, and I know it's not me, so it better be you, and it wasn't. So let's go, these weekend streamers.
All right. Thank you. That perfectly delayed there, Brock. Great job. I am ready now. So yeah, we got streamers this weekend. Last weekend, as you may or may not me heard me yell at the end of the podcast, there was no teams playing Friday, Sunday, which is why we did not have a streamer segment on the show, a bunch of one-man pickups. But now this weekend, we're kind of back to normal here. We got four games on Friday, 12 on Saturday, six on Sunday. So obviously, as per usual, we're going to be looking at those guys rocking the Friday, Sunday schedule. Four teams to go through, so we'll try to rip through them quickly here. Starting us off, we got the Carolina Hurricanes. They are hosting two games this weekend. First, the Red Wings coming to town on Friday, and then they welcome the Wild on Sunday. Toivo Teravainen, Turbo, a guy that, you know, has kind of fallen out of fantasy circles over the last couple of seasons, but back up on the top line with Aho and Svechnikov. He's got left wing, right wing eligibility, 35% owned. Also seen some time with the second power play unit. You know, never going to have the most goal scoring upside. Shot volume has always been an issue with Teravainen. Even when he was at his fantasy peak, he was always an assist first guy, but he does have 4 points in his last four games. Again, just seven shots on goal over that stretch. So not the most upside heading into the weekend, but a pair of good home matchups for him. And even without that top power play time, I think he's a safe bet to pad your assist totals this weekend, so long as he's skating with the red hot Aho and Svechnikov. And then other than that, I mean, you can imagine a team like the Hurricanes, most of their top six, and most of the guys that are fantasy relevant are well above any sort of threshold that would crack the streaming segment here. But Michael Bunting is worth a bit of a shout out, just because, as you'll see, there's not a whole lot of other great options this weekend. And, you know, the guys that we do like in some pretty good spots in their lineup are going to be looking at some pretty tough matchups. So Michael Bunting, worth a mention here, left wing, 29% owned, a lot less upside than Teravainen skating on that second line. Hasn't been near Teravainen in terms of his usage ice time over the last couple of weeks, but he is on the first power play unit. So he's not my favorite target, but I think he's a decent bet if you're chasing power play points this weekend. It's worth noting the Wild in particular for that Sunday matchup are fourth last in the NHL with a penalty kill percentage of 72.8%. Up next, we got Brock's Red Wings. They are in Carolina, as we said, on Friday before hosting the Lightning on Sunday. So, you know, not the best matchups, but we got a couple of names worth mentioning here. David Perron, left wing, right wing, eligible, 43% owned. And the always out there, never productive JT Compher, left wing, right wing, eligible somehow, even though he's played center almost this entire season, does not have center eligibility. Figure it out, Yahoo. 22% owned for Compher. Both staples in the Red Wings top six, both on the team's top power play unit as well with Kane out right now. Perron offers a bit of a higher ceiling. I don't think anyone would argue that. Not as widely available, though, obviously, at 43%. Compher sees a ton of ice time, but hasn't been able to take advantage of it. Shocker. They are worth a mention, though, given that their usage and their exposure to the likes of Larkin to bring out Lucas Raymond. Schedule does mean there's definitely better options out there this weekend. And Carolina and Tampa Bay both killing penalties at an over 80% clip. Though Tampa, as you guys might be aware, have surrendered their fair share of 5v5 goals this weekend. So I do think there's some decent upside to consider here as well, especially considering the usage. And then we got the Wild in Florida on Friday before, as I said earlier, traveling to Carolina on Sunday. And again, matchups are not great at all. So we're not going to go super down far the list here, even though there is some, you know, decent options in their top six that we would normally speak about. You know, the likes of Marcus Johansson, not going to get a shout out, even though I just said his name. But still need to give a love to a couple friends of the show, first of which is Brock Faber. Defenseman, 39% owned. His ownership has soared since we last talked about him, but Faber's still available in over 60% of leagues, continues to eat a ton of minutes, and his upside as the quarterback of their first power play unit only grew with Kaprizov's reintroduction into Minnesota's lineup. He's got it, or there's a decent chance, again, with Sunday, six games on the slate, you might only be able to fit in a defenseman into your lineup. So if that's the case, I think Faber is probably the best option you'll find that's going to be available in more than 50% of leagues. And as we've said before on the show, he possesses more long-term value on the blue line than you typically find in the free agent pool. So I still love Faber long term, and obviously the schedule lines up this weekend as well for the short term. So five assists in his last six games, no goals over that span, but he is firing the puck on net at a respectable clip, 13 shots on goal across those six games, and his heavy usage means he's going to continue to be a good source of hits and block shots and formats that account for those statistics as well. And then the other name I need to mention here, despite the tough matchups, is Marco Rossi, 9% owned. He's bounced up and down the lineup all season. He's gone pointless in his last five, but so long as he's skating with Kirill Kaprizov and Mats Zuccarello at 5v5 like he is right now, he's going to be worth a mention here. If he ever gets an extended run centering that line and perhaps sneaks on the top power play unit, I really do think we could see his production take off. We've talked about that a lot this year, but for now, he's a solid streaming option in deeper leagues. And then finally, we got the Islanders, who are in Chicago on Friday and then host the Stars on Sunday, who will be on a back-to-back. So in terms of matchups, aside from the Hurricanes, this is probably as good as we're going to get this weekend. The Islanders' top nine, currently a bit of a mess. They've got Barzal down centering the third line, so I would not be shocked if these lines change by the weekend. But we do still have a couple of reliable streaming options available here in Anders Lee, left wing, 30% owned, and Brock's boy, Kyle Palmieri, right wing, 6% owned. Lee has endured a tough season to date, currently skating on the team's de facto first line, though, which is centered by Brock's boy, Brock Nelson. Fresh off a two-goal game is Anders Lee. He's been playing better of late with 10 shots on goal across his last four games. He is limited to a role in the second power play unit, which does cap his upside, so just keep that in mind. And I think Palmieri, to Brock's credit, is a great target in deeper leagues this weekend, particularly for that Friday game in Chicago. Obviously, that's a fantastic matchup. Still holding down a role in their top six as well, and he's on the top power play unit. Pointless in his last three, but has shown to be able to put the puck on net in bunches when he gets the ice time, which he has been of late. Eight shots on goal his last time out. Didn't score on one of them, but certainly worth a mention for that feat. And I think he could be a cheap source of shots and goals this weekend. And then we'll just take a quick look in net here. We got plenty of teams rocking the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back. So just going to throw out a couple of my favorite projected spot starts and goal for Sunday's six-game slate if you need to get desperate and try to swing some goalie categories or try to pick up some extra points on the last day of the week. Samuel Ersson, 35% owned. Ersson? Didn't check his reference page before coming into this. Whichever you want to call him. His ownership has climbed of late as he continues to eat into Carter Hart's workload. They've been in a bit of a rotation of late. If that stays the same, it's going to line up where Hart will be in net against the Avalanche on Saturday, which would leave Ersson to take on the Senators in a very favorable matchup on Sunday. So Samuel Ersson will be a hot commodity off the waiver wire on Sunday. And then Jonathan Quick, 41% owned. That ownership has dropped a bit of late, as we predicted on this show. Shocker. His numbers have fallen back down to earth. Igor Shesterkin has regained control of that crease. But the Rangers are doing the Southern California back-to-back this weekend, which means Igor will likely get the Kings on Saturday, leaving Quick to take on the Ducks in Anaheim on Sunday. You should expect the Rangers to be heavy favorites there. So a really nice spot start for Johnny Quick on Sunday. And then the Leafs, man, I mean, they're in Vancouver Saturday, Seattle on Sunday. Someone else aside from Martin Jones is theoretically going to start one of these two games. Joseph Woll did travel with the team, which makes you think he's got at least a possibility of starting one of those two games. I think he's ready to go this weekend. He would probably get the Saturday game, leaving Jones to face his old team on Sunday. If he's not able to go, then that opens the door for either Samsonov at 33% owned or Dennis Hildeby, the Hildebees, who did not get to start while he was up at the big club at 2% owned. Considering they're on the West Coast and Hildeby's with the Marlies, I would expect that it'd be Samsonov on Sunday if Woll is still unable to go this weekend. But yeah, otherwise, I think if he's ready, I think it makes sense for Woll to play Saturday. You got Jones against his old team in Seattle on Sunday. Jones is at 69% owned, but I would not be shocked if Woll returns ahead of that game if he gets dropped in a fair amount of leagues. So just keep an eye out, because if he gets dropped and clears waivers in time, and you know, maybe we'll see what happens with the Thursday game, then I think Martin Jones could potentially be available on your wire and be in a really nice spot against his former team, because rightly or wrongly, the Leafs will be favored in Seattle on Sunday. So there you go. Not as many options as usual, but still some good names to go after and target this weekend and hopefully steal your matchups.
Yeah, I do not think Joseph Woll will be back. They said that he is traveling, but he's mostly skating by himself, not with the team. So with that being the case, I doubt he'll be back. And then with Samsonov having actually a pretty strong performance against the Red Wings despite the loss the other night, I do anticipate that it will most likely be him rather than the Hill the Beast. Samsonov actually didn't look too bad against a stellar Detroit Red Wings team. But those were D's streamers. And now this is the Betway, a bet of the day. We're looking at I believe it's a 10-game slate for Thursday. The first pick might surprise you a little bit, but I'm going to go Chicago Blackhawks plus 225 on the money line. Pretty outrageous line against a Buffalo Sabres team that's been pretty mediocre, to put it lightly. And this Blackhawks team's actually played pretty tough since losing Connor Bedard. Defensively, they've been locked down. Every game's been tight, low scoring. And at plus, 225, there's some plus 250 out there. Keeping it close is pretty much all you can ask for. And they've done a really nice job defensively, despite, missing so many bodies. The other one is the New York Rangers. They're in Vegas taking on the Golden Knights at minus 125. Just makes a lot of sense to me. This is a Vegas team that does not have a lot of forwards. They cannot match up the way they want to without William Karlsson. Obviously, Jack Eichel is a line that would match up against the opposition's top six. That kind of leaves them to match up with Chandler Stephenson and Mark Stone, who, as I mentioned earlier, have not been great at 5v5. So, they might do a half-decent job against Zibanejad or Panarin, but I figure whichever line does not see them is probably going to have a big night. So I think that the odds there are pretty nice for the New York Rangers, minus 125 in Vegas. I also have been fading the Boston Bruins, rightly or wrongly, pretty much the entire season, and the Avs at plus money always seem like a fair bet. They are plus 120 in Boston. I do think that these two teams are fairly similar, especially given some of the injury concerns that the Avs have had. But the Bruins, by and large, are a mediocre team with outstanding goaltending. And as long as the Avs can get, reasonable goaltending, which they have struggled to for the most part, I like the Avs here at plus 120. And that's going to do it for not only the Betway bets of the day, but that is going to do it for season 9, episode 28 of the DFO Fantasy Podcast, presented to you by Betway. I'm your host, Brock Segan. With you, as always, we got Michael Beebs, Bondi, Dylan D. Bertheum. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys back here next week.
Rip over those wires, start sprinting, grab all those names.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.